ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports. Right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's Monday. It's a Western Oklahoma Realty Monday. It's also a Jim Traber Monday. He'll be coming up at 9:30. All kinds of different topics to discuss with Jim, from the PGA to the NBA to the soap opera that is the SEC, college baseball, college softball, all kinds of things we can pick Jim's mind about. I wasn't here on Friday, so I didn't really get to hear your thoughts on Jimbo lashing back out at Saban. And then Saban cowered down. Did he cower down?
Did he
cower down? Or did he try to save face more than that? We'll talk about that. And also wrap up the PGA. Awesome week up at Southern Hills. And what looked to be probably, you know, for some people, I think Mito Pereira would have been a popular win. I don't know how many here thought that. So as bad as you might have felt for him, I think for United States golf fans, that worked out pretty well to have two young guys going at it in that playoff. And, man, good stuff down the stretch there at the PGA. We'll talk about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That's 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. You can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698 if you're outside the listening area. Stay in touch with the show a couple of different ways. You can log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. The app's got everything. Radio. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. All things right there in that app. Also, Skinny on Sports Podcast is available on KADSAM.com or iTunes. If you go the iTunes route, you can subscribe to the podcast, and you will be alerted each and every day when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I am a little tired. I am definitely a little bit sore.
Yeah. I was teasing everybody on Friday. You're going to have a little report for us how it went on Saturday.
I can tell you this. It was cold and it was windy.
Yeah.
Exactly what you didn't expect toward the end of May in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, when we all talked about getting those tickets way back when, a year ago, it felt like.
Yeah.
Probably was pretty close. You know, you're worried about melting down, you know, up there.
Yeah.
With it being hot, and it was Thursday and Friday, and in some of the practice rounds. But by the time we got out there Saturday, it was a little bit misty. Thank goodness it didn't rain much at the golf course, or that would have been miserable. But that was a good day. We got it out there a little bit later than probably we normally would have because of the threat of rain. Nobody wanted to wake up at 8 o'clock just to look outside and see, okay, well, we're not going yet. So we didn't get there till about 10:30 as kind of the the first wave was making the turn. We got stumbled right at trying to figure out the lay of the land. And one of the major problems I had anyway, I don't know if everybody else was, but because of the nature of that golf course and how kind of down below it is after you hit the first tee shot, cell service was awful. We couldn't get any, trying to use the app to figure out, okay, where's everybody at? Who's on what hole? You couldn't get any. It was just terrible. So you had to really pay attention to where the big old scoreboards were to see. But anyhow, we got out there just in time to watch. We watched Tiger play 13 and in, and kind of skipped around a little bit to try to see him hit shots, because no matter how bad he plays, that's who everybody wants to go see.
Of course.
You know, and
of
so course. We actually stumbled to the perfect spot on 13, the par 5. He hit it just in the left rough, and we happened to be standing there. We had no idea he was coming up next because we just were getting into the, oh, man, we don't have any cell service, right? This is terrible. And then we looked down the fairway and saw the kid with the scoreboard, or the whatever you call it. He was walking the walking scoreboard.
Yeah.
And saw the names. We're like, oh, man, we're in the perfect. How did this happen? And then all of a sudden, you look at the tee box, and you see thousands of people walking towards you. And so we kind of, so that honestly, that gave us the idea of, okay, let's try to kind of stay ahead of him, and we might instead of watching every shot he hits, because you won't be able to watch any shots he hits. So try to kind of stay ahead. So he hit it up by the green on 13, and we just kept walking to 14 tee box, and got, and we probably should have stayed on the other side. But anyway, we're right there for him to hit that shot on the par three. And after that, we went down to the green and went up 16, and waited on him to get to 16 in the fairway. Sure enough, he was right there. So that was pretty good stuff. And then 18, and he was pretty close to us as well. So that was the first goal. Then after that, the entire goal the rest of the way should have been not walk back up the hill on 18 until we're leaving. Unfortunately, that wasn't what we did. We walked up into the stands on 18, watched it from there for a little bit, but the wind was blowing straight in your face out of the north, and it was cold, so that didn't last long.
Yeah.
And then we got around to you had to go around number 4 green and then walk down number 5. Number 5 is the par 5, it's 660 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a long one.
It felt like we were walking 30 minutes just walking down the left side, because we were trying to get around the primo spot, at least for this year, with the way they had the holes routed and the tees kind of over greens and all that kind of stuff. The perfect spot was like if you could get close to number 5 green, because from 5 green you could see tee shots on 3, second shots into 2, and tee shots on 6, and then obviously what was coming at you on 5. But guess what? Everybody else knew that as well. And so it was difficult to get into that spot. So we kind of went up number 7 once the leader started getting out there. You got a video. Justin Thomas hit it into the crowd right where we were. Probably like 3 or 4, maybe 5 guys, like, you know, how everybody has to separate and make a shoot for him to hit through. We were about fifth to the 8th guy away from the golf ball. So, I mean, we were right there for that shot. And then right after that, Zalatoris did the same thing, but he was a little bit further back. So we weren't quite as close to him. And then, it was great. Southern Hills was awesome. The golf course was probably the winner at the end of the day, at the end of the tournament. It certainly held up to what it needed to be. And we had guessed at winning scores. I think the wind switching out of the north held down the scores, because it was clear it was a way harder golf course with that northerly wind as opposed to the south wind. And then the cold. I mean, it was pretty cold Saturday morning. When the wind was blowing pretty good, but no, it was great. It was a cool event. It seemed like everyone was pretty well behaved for the most part. You know, there wasn't a whole bunch of lunacy going on from the crowd.
Well, at $18 a beer, I'm sure there wasn't.
Didn't slow anybody down. That was the one thing I noticed. It wasn't slowing many down.
Oh boy,
it wasn't like the coolers were stocked full. No. It was everywhere. I promise you, it was not much of a deterrent at $18 a beer. There was lots of double fisting, but
I was curious about that.
Oh no, and here's the deal. And it was freezing cold too.
Yeah,
when we were out there, and so that wasn't slowing. I think you probably, we were talking about this driving back after we left about that exact topic, and I think you probably just. You figure, hey, I'm going. This happens. Well, it hadn't happened since 2007 there. I know it's coming back in 2030, I believe, is the year where the PGA will be back at Southern Hills. But, once every 8 years, yeah, I can spend a couple hundred bucks on beer for the weekend. Who cares? I think that was probably the mindset. If you're there and it costs you whatever it costs you for whatever ticket you had, what's another little bit?
Yeah.
And so... Now, that was the one thing I did notice, because I was curious about that. No, it wasn't. There might have been some griping on Twitter about the pricing of the beers early last week. It did not slow anybody down that was there. They were the ones griping, but if they were the ones griping, It didn't slow him down enough to not pay it.
Right. Listen, people love their beer. They'll pay for it.
Yeah.
They probably don't like it, but they'll pay for it.
Yeah, that was what was happening.
Like paying for it, but yeah. Well, good. Glad you had a good time, despite the weather.
No, it was good, and it was fine. I mean, I had on a polo and shorts, and the only time I was really cold was when we were sitting there behind 18 in the grandstands with the wind blowing right at you, and I was like, well, if we're going to sit here, I'd rather go home. I can watch it on the, you know, watch it at the sports bar or whatever.
Yeah.
But then once you got moving, you got down below a little bit. It was just fine. No, it was all it does. You know what it does? Mm. At least to me, being out there watching that, just makes me want to go play Southern Hills. That's all that did.
Yeah.
Let's get me fired up about, okay, now how can I weasel my way onto Southern Hills to go play that dude?
Well, the guy we'll talk to in here in a little bit probably can help you out there.
And you never know. He said he's played it before.
He has played it. So you never know.
So what did you think about the way everything went?
At Southern Hills and everything? I thought you heard nothing but good things from the golfers as far as the playing, the course itself. You know, I'm glad there wasn't a lot of grumbling about the weather because you can't control that. It just happens. And it turned into a nice day yesterday at the end of it. I think the only thing you heard, I don't know if you heard anything while you were there about the bunkers.
Oh, yeah.
That golfers, the players had some issues with it, about the consistency of the sand and the bunkers. They weren't expecting them to, I guess, explode out of there like they did. But I think after a few bunker shots, they adjusted to that. But, hey, you know, kudos to Tulsa and kudos to Southern Hills. Nothing but praise, and the coverage was great from what I was able. I wasn't able to watch a lot Saturday. I was out, but yesterday I sat down and watched the final round, and you heard nothing but good things. So, anxious to get it back in, 8 years, what you said?
Yeah, I think it's 2030 when it's coming back.
You know, and kudos to Tulsa, too, because they weren't it wasn't the original plan to go there.
No, no.
And so they had maybe a year.
It was a year right around this time last year when it was all announced that, nope, sorry, because of political reasons.
Right.
We're not going to Trump. We're going to, and then I think Lady Luck smiled on him just a little bit because the senior PGA was there a year ago.
Right, that's true.
And so
they're probably like, you know what, they're already kind of prepared already.
That's right. And by the way, this golf course is going to host as many of these as anybody. And so it seemed like a natural fit. I think that helped. It was just kind of a perfect coincidence there as they were able to do that with the senior being there. Obviously, the PGA of America is completely comfortable with Southern Hills, as now they've hosted more PGAs than any golf course in America. So I think that all kind of went with it, and just being the venue that it always is, are really a way to be able to get that thing done in that amount of time. And I think the golf course being somewhat prepared a year ago with the senior PGA. There wasn't as much work that probably would have had to gone into it if that wasn't there. But, you know, all the redesign, all the restoration was completed. And I thought it showed well. I mean, it looked awesome on TV. It looked the same in person. And so, yeah, it was a great week. Some things that I had coming out. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We're probably not going to get to Jimbo and Saban until Jim comes on, because there's some things we need to talk about coming out of this week at Southern Hills.
Yeah. But good. I mean, we'll talk about the play, too.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Or local guys. Oklahoma guys with Oklahoma ties played okay. And then, of course, the playoff was, you got bonus golf, which is awesome.
And it was good, too.
It was.
We'll be back.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said, were people before property?
Well, it means that you put the person that you're working with or the family that you're working with, you put their interests first. You make sure that you find the right property for them at the price that they can afford. and make sure that you take good care of them through the process.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's in the hole!
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It is a Western Oklahoma Realty Monday. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. They can do it all. Any type of real estate needs you have, give them a call. 225-6271. That's Western Oklahoma Realty. Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property. That's what they do. All right, so coming out of the PGA, I think there's a few things looking forward that we can certainly discuss. You know, Jim's been vocal about this, and it's been true. Outside of Rory winning, say, four majors in that three-year span back in 2011 through 2014, we've been kind of waiting on somebody, waiting on, you know, not the next Tiger, but somebody that can be consistent in these major championships.
Right.
Can that be JT?
I think that same question was asked about Spieth, right?
Yeah, Spieth had a good run, too. I should have put him in there as well. He and Rory.
Injury kind of set him
back.
But, and then, yeah, Rory. But you're always looking for that next guy, and I don't know if Justin Thomas is it. He plays a great game of golf, obviously, yesterday, and he's always in the conversation when it comes to these type of championships. Wait and see. I mean, I think, yeah, he's capable of doing it. How old is he?
29, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, see, I mean, I don't want to say that's old, but
well, it's not even close. He's not even into the prime yet.
Yeah, so I think he can be, sure.
Yeah, Koepka, there's another guy. You know, there's been, I guess that probably more goes to the,
I mean, no offense.
The ridiculousness that Tiger was, as opposed to these guys not getting it done.
It's not really a fair question because you're trying to compare it to.
No. I said not Tiger-esque, but somebody that is actually winning these things. Think about Justin anywhere in a year,
yeah,
and he hadn't won a major in five, and he's been a fantastic player. But you know what I'm saying, though. That's this, and maybe that the answer is nobody can, nobody's going to, because you know they're not Tiger, but I just think
who
that
can be that consistent guy. We thought it
like
was
one every like one more. Every 2 years over a 10-year stretch.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that. Yeah,
can it be him? I mean, I'm not asking him to break Jack's record.
I think it could be him, but I think it could be him and others too. You know, I we're waiting. Yeah, I mean, if it's not him winning it, is it? Yeah, and that's a good point that Dakota brought to the text line. You know, we thought it'd be Brooks, maybe. Shoot, even DeChambeau at times, but. Maybe JT, maybe.
Does golf need somebody to be that guy?
I don't think so.
See, I
you think so? They think they
disagree.
Need a guy?
I think you
that's dominating the sport.
I think you need a guy that brings everyone rooting for him to the table,
mm-hmm.
and everyone not rooting for him to the table, all at the same time. A polarizing figure.
I see.
Such as, I mean,
well,
you know, as many fans as Tiger had, there's still a whole bunch of people didn't like him either.
Yeah.
You know, Phil is that guy for me, for sure, the one that most people like, and I don't. But I just think, you know, parity works great in the NFL. I don't know if it works great in golf, because then you never get the momentum of, you know, somebody to root for or against. Right now, it feels like you've kind of got a bunch of guys. You know, 10 or 12 or 15 guys that, okay. Now, who or if any one of those can really put themselves forward. And almost, you know, JT's got some different history that people could pick apart, you know, saying what he said to himself and get him the polo deal crushed. You know, there's some of that that could help him be a little bit of the villain, as most people think he's the hero, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some of that. But it's just really interesting. And we're coming out of the Tiger era, obviously. And that was such a just dominant run for all those years. And even when he wasn't quite, you know, after the the 2008 U.S. Open, then all kind of the personal stuff started. But there was still this, well, he can win any tournament he tees it up in. That's clearly not the case anymore. And so now what's next for golf? Is it declining? Is it going to just, by nature of Tiger built it to a level that you couldn't really fathom in the first place? Does it mean, you know, this next little bit, does it take a little bit of a step back? Or can somebody not take the reins and push it further? Because that's just not happening. But at least keep it up to the level. And Justin Thomas seems like as good a candidate as anybody. What about Tiger?
Well, I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts of him pulling out on Sunday?
I was shocked. Just because he doesn't, that's not him. That's not his style at all. I will tell you this, being there and watching him when the cameras aren't on, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you see a little bit of the struggle just because he's on the camera all the time, and you can, you know what I'm saying? You see
I
it.
I saw more grimacing now.
But I'm telling you right now, you don't even, it doesn't give you the full picture of what the pain on his face.
Yeah.
In between, just walking, it just doesn't, you don't, you, because they just don't have the cameras on him 24/7. Right. Now, if you're watching the feature group, maybe you get a little bit more of a
you'd think there would be a camera on him 24/7.
There probably is. It's just you may not get to see it, right? But when you're watching him, I mean, bending down to tee up balls, bending down to pick his ball out of the hole, it was almost like his leg and maybe his back. Of course, it was colder. That didn't help. But the first thing I thought of when he announced he was withdrawing was he did something. Something else is worse. And then you have to watching him. I mean, he was literally in as much pain and almost broken down looking.
Yeah.
My thoughts immediately went, did we just witness history?
Like, that's it.
Did we just see? I don't think that's true.
Right.
But without knowing what happened, there's no way he looked at the leaderboard, went, I'm next to last, and decided to quit. That is not his style.
No.
And why in the hell would he go through it on Saturday?
Yeah.
You know, if he was just going to, maybe the bad round, obviously, but he did it at Augusta too and didn't quit. You know?
True.
I do think there's a little bit of that in there to where, Do I think if he was one shot out of the lead, no matter what happened physically, he would have withdrawn? No. But I do think something happened, and his team of people talked it through and went, listen, either you've hurt something else or you're going to for no reason.
No.
There's no sense in it.
No.
You can't win, and all you can do is lose now. From a physical standpoint. So, you made the cut. Nice job. Now, what's next? Because, you know, I think that part of the conversation did happen. But that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that news was he did something worse. And is this it? I don't think that's going to be the case. But, of course, you haven't heard anything from him outside of congratulating Justin Thomas after the tournament was over. So, I have a hard time, with what I saw, I have a hard time believing he would put himself through the ringer that is the U.S. Open ahead of a British at St. Andrews, which might be, it might be the last time he has any chance to compete in a British at St. Andrews, because you think about, he's 46 right now, another 5 or 6 years till it comes back. Now he's in his lower 50s. Can't even tell if he can play 4 rounds of golf now.
Right.
We have no clue if he could do it then. I do think there's an interesting topic about Tiger.
Which is?
Should he use a cart?
Will they allow him?
I thought John Daly was out there in a cart the other day, wasn't he?
I think he was.
Pretty sure he was.
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, I think you see the golf part of this, the golf, it's pretty good still. But it can't sustain being good because his body can't sustain 4 days of walking.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, we kid, but does he need an aid just to pick up a ball?
See?
Because that's the thing I was looking at the Masters. How is he picking the ball up out of the cup?
Yeah, like Joey needs to start getting the cup of the ball out of the hole every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as he walked down those fairways, he had a club in his hand every time.
Like
almost
cane.
Like a cane.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back. Jim's next.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said is, what about, were people before property?
People before property means to me that you care about the person more than you care about what they're buying, in that you want them to get the best thing for their circumstances, the best home, the best investment.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
I would talk if my mic was on.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Pleased to be joined by now by the voice you're going to hear at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Good morning, Jim.
How you guys doing? Are you getting some rain?
A little bit of rain. It's dark. It's really kind of loud out here. There's been a bunch of thunder and lightning. Yeah. The rain a little bit east of us to start, but it's supposed to maybe 2 to 4 inches by the time we get to Wednesday, which everybody around needs, and it'd be really nice if we could get that.
I know the western part of our state definitely needs some rain, so I'll be happy if you get it. We're getting rain right now. Matter of fact, my grandson just came over the house, and Julie's watching him, and he went outside in the rain, and he was having a good time just walking around in the rain.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Hey, once again, we get to talk to you after another strong performance on the felt. Tell us about your poker tournament.
You know, guys, there were over 700 people who started this tournament, and I ended up finishing 20th. But, you know, there's different ways to finish 20th. I had the second biggest stack with about 25 people left. I had 1.1 million at the time in chips. And I just got really unlucky, man. I mean, I had about two really bad. Now, I did have some incredibly lucky hands, too, you know, so it's not like I'm mad. But even though, I mean, I'm happy that I finished 20th and I won a little over $3,000, first place was $72,000. And so I always think about that. But, no, I was very happy. I did have one great hand, guys. Listen to this. So when I was really rolling, when I was really my stack was building up and things were going really well, I got pocket kings, and I raised. And then the dude a little bit across, two from me, he went all in with a lot less than me. And then a guy at the other end of the table went all in with less than me. So I obviously called. So one guy had pocket aces with the smallest stack had pocket aces. The next stack had pocket queens, and I had pocket kings. And here comes a king. I beat both of them, knock them both out of the tournament. So you forget about the lucky ones when you don't get lucky. But, yeah, no, I was very happy, man, going up to – y'all ever been up to Downstream? It's way – I mean, that's got to be about a five-hour drive for you guys.
My folks have been there, but I never have.
Oh, where's this?
You're trying to act skinny? You're trying to act like I'm as old as your parents?
Almost the exact same, actually. My mom's a little older.
My folks have been there. That's an old fogey place, but I haven't been there. Jared, it's all the way in the northeast part of the corner. Matter of fact, it's just right next to Joplin, Missouri. So my wife, you know, when I play poker, she has a friend that she has a good time with, whose husband also plays poker, and so they go over to Joplin, and it's a cool little town. They got nice little boutiques and stuff like that, and restaurants. It's a cool place. Joplin, Missouri is a cool little place.
Yeah, I've been to Joplin.
So it's right there on the border.
Yeah, yeah. That was the one where you, like, the different parking lots are almost in different states, isn't it? Like, you could park in Missouri or Oklahoma or Kansas even?
Well, what they were going to do was, you're right, part of the parking lot is in Missouri.
Okay.
What they were going to do was they were going to build the casino into Missouri. This was before, if you remember, before we had the dice and everything like that. They were going to build it into Missouri because Missouri's rules were different, and then they were going to be able to have, like, crafts and stuff over in that place. But then, of course, they changed the rules here, and now they do have crap. So, but no, it's a nice little place. I mean, it's not as nice as the ones down south, you know, like the one in Durant, Choctaw. But it's a nice place, and it was a really good tournament, good players, and I was really excited. So, it got me a little bit of confidence back after getting beat up the week before. So, and then Memorial Day, I'm gonna go play a big tournament Memorial Day weekend down in Dallas. So good stuff.
Then you got Vegas coming in what, 3 or 4 weeks?
4 weeks from 4 weeks. 4 weeks from Wednesday. I'll be cranking it up with the old men all over the world. So that'll be good. Playing the senior event out there.
All right, switch it up to Southern Hills. Where do you want to start? There's a lot of different angles coming out of the golf tournament. I think the tournament itself is one thing, and I think the future of Tiger Woods is another. It's impossible to tell what's going to happen with him. But as we talked about last Monday, I felt like this week would tell us a little bit more of how his health was. And obviously that doesn't look to be any better necessarily than it was after he played at Augusta.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard that little dissertation that I gave on Friday about Tiger. You know, here's the deal, guys. When you're around unbelievable athletes, I'm not talking about some kid in high school, I'm talking about world-class athletes. They have an arrogance to them, and I'm not getting on to them. It's a confidence, a cocky confidence that is almost arrogant, that they believe that they can do anything, okay? I mean, that they can do anything. And a lot of them can do just about anything. And I think that this last 2 months has been Tiger saying to everybody around the world, hey, I'm the best that's ever played, and I can do this even if my leg is falling apart. And he did do it a couple of times. I mean, like the Friday round, he just sat there and kind of hit the ball nice. He was just playing like fairway to green and two putting, you know, and he made the cut. But Saturday, fellas, was just, I mean, it was embarrassing. I mean, it was just horrible. Now, it was a tough day, and just about everybody didn't play real well. But of course, he played so bad that, you know, he ended up last in the tournament, and then he withdrew. And I kind of thought, you know, gosh, I kind of thought he might withdraw earlier in the tournament because of the pain that he was going through. But I will tell you that, guys, I hope that we don't keep watching this. I hope we don't keep watching it, because I've seen it with athletes before. Not because of injury, but just because of being old. And that's the other thing, fellas. We don't ever think he's 46 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at 46, isn't that when Jack won the Masters? Was he 46?
Yes.
That's what I thought. He was 46 years old. We've never seen, you know, not many people can do things like that. I'm sure that Tiger has that in the back of his mind. Hey, Jack won at 46. I want to win at 46. I just don't know if he can do it with that leg. Now, maybe if he wouldn't have had that accident, maybe he could have. I don't know. But when you throw in his age and you throw in the pain that he's going through, it's just it should be done. If he can't get a lot better, then he needs to be done with it. But I'm sure if he keeps playing, the next one's going to be good for him, right? Because it's not real hilly over there, and he loves that course. It's the birthplace of golf. So I don't know. You were up there. What was the scuttlebutt up there?
Man, I think that it was just you see on TV certain aspects of it, and you can tell he's in pain. But when you watch him, you know, kind of when the cameras are off, as he's continuing walking down those holes and walking up and trying to bend over and all, it was like he was completely broken down.
Yeah.
You know, we got there afraid of the rain early on, and so we didn't get there until he started actually playing pretty well on 14. And I think he played those last five holes like one under par. But even the shots he was hitting, you could tell that it was hurting so bad to do it. And then when we heard he withdrew on Saturday night, my very first thought was, well, that's not like him. What did he do? Like, what did he hurt worse? And now, like, I literally thought to myself, did we just witness history? Did we just witness the last time he'll tee it up in competition?
Because, well, we don't even talk about his back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the guy's got a really bad back, too. So you throw that in with the leg. I don't know, man. Look, I, as a person who has chronic pain, it does not feel good, man, when you're always in pain. It just doesn't. I mean, I don't know what kind of regimen he's on. I'm sure he has a pain specialist that helps him. But, man, when your leg, and that's that right leg, you know, Skinny, man.
Right.
You got to push off that thing. Every time he was in the – I was listening early – was it – he played early Friday or something?
Early Thursday. Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah. And Scott Verplank was, you know, was calling it on ESPN Plus, and Scotty was like, he hit this bunker shot, and his right leg was down in the bunker, and it was a horrible bunker shot. And, you know, everybody was crying about the bunkers and everything, but it was a terrible shot. It was a perfect bunker. Everybody would have been a bad shot. And Verplank said, "There's no way that he can hit that shot. There's no physical way that he can make that shot with that leg, because for that specific, you've got to dig into that bunker so hard with that right leg that he can't do it." So, I mean, can you imagine going against the best in the world and not being able to make some shots? I mean, what that means, you have no chance. And he stands up there. The thing that shows me the arrogance and the cockiness is, and I'm not ripping him for being arrogant. That's what a bunch of superstars are. That's what makes them what they are. But he stands up there and they ask him, you know, can you win the tournament? And he says, "Oh, I can definitely win the tournament." He knows he can't win the tournament. I'm sorry. I mean, he's in a fantasy land if he thinks that he can win that tournament. But, guys, he's going to have to do one of two things. He's going to have to get better, which I don't think is happening, or he's going to have to start playing some more golf, Skinny.
Which doesn't seem like he can. That's the problem.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a double-edged sword. If he can't play anymore, what, he's just going to line up in the majors? You know, I'll tell you this. When he was at his best, when he had the Tiger Slam, he'd had a hard time winning those tournaments if that was the only one he was playing back then. You know, he didn't play a lot. He didn't play a normal schedule like a lot of people do, but he played at least one or two tournaments between majors. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what he's going to do. I just don't see any, you know, can he sit out another year and it feels better? Then he's 47, you know. I don't know, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is, and it feels like, you know, you mentioned some of those other athletes that just got old, and it was sad to watch. It feels like, because of the way he thinks, and it's arrogance, it's confidence, it's cockiness, it's mental toughness, it's whatever you want to, you know, it's all of those things wrapped up into one. But it doesn't feel like his brain is going to let him accept that he can't do it anymore. And so I'm afraid all we're going to see is just a bunch of sadness out of the guy that some people think's the greatest. He's for sure in the top two. And we're just going to see a bunch of sadness out of his rounds in the biggest tournaments of the year.
Well, maybe having to withdraw, you said this earlier, that's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe having to withdraw, maybe that'll push something in. But I'll say it again, and I said it on the radio last week. You know, I had that brain surgery 3 years ago. Matter of fact, exactly 3 years ago. If I would have come back on the radio, now, you know, my memory's a little bit different here and there, and I have a hard time remembering names, but I think I'm getting old too. But if I couldn't, like, sometimes put sentences together, or, you know, if there were times in the show where I just totally forgot what I was talking about, or could, you know, I would hope that somebody like Julie or maybe Al Eschbeck or somebody that, you know, was my friend or loved me would come up to me and go, "Hey, listen, Jim, you need to slow down because you just, you know, you just can't do it anymore." I would hope that someone in it, I don't know if he has somebody in his life to do that, fellas. You know, I don't know. It just, you're right, it's sad. I felt sorry for him on Thursday. And then Saturday was just, I mean, I'm sitting there playing in that poker tournament watching him and going, this is unbelievable, you know? I mean, he shot the worst round there was. So, anyway, I guess at least he didn't get to 80. He had pride to not shoot 80 in the tournament. And I don't know. My guess is, fellas, he's going to be there for the British Open. But don't you agree, Skinny? I mean, I think he's going to play.
Yeah, I think if he misses one, it's going to be the U.S. Open in June. I think, because here's another thing that's working against him. You mentioned age. This would be, and I'm not even saying he has any chance to be, you know, in a position to compete. But with his age and the toll that has been on his body for all, I mean, think about all the surgeries he's had. Not, in, you know,
Right.
There's a lot going on there. I think in his mind, this is going to be the last time he has any chance to compete at the British Open at St. Andrews. And I just don't think it makes any sense to put yourself through the ringer that is any U.S. Open. It doesn't even matter where it's at. Any U.S. Open is going to be about the hardest golf course you can play all year long. Why even mess with it if St. Andrews is the goal anyhow?
Right. Can you imagine him if he hits the ball in that rough and he's going to have to get in that rough and try to dig that out? And I mean, it's just going to be terrible.
Right.
Yep. So I don't know what to do. I mean, if he can play pretty good, solid golf at 46 years old, if he's healthy, then maybe if he gets healthier, maybe at 47 he'll still be able to play. I don't know. It's hard to watch. It is. It's hard to, and I don't even like the guy, but it's hard to watch. So I think about all these Tiger fans. I remember on Saturday when they'd show some people in the stands a little bit here and there, and I mean they had these looks of, you know, just bewilderment. So, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because your right leg is so important. I'm left-handed. My left leg was so important. You know, if it was his left leg skinny,
right,
we could just put all that dangling pressure on his right leg.
Yeah.
You know, you can hit balls off your back leg. You can't hit balls off your front leg. You just can't. You're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, he could compensate for it way easier if it was his left leg than he can be in his right leg.
That's right. Exactly. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, like I said, if he really believes that he can win, then he's a little bit delusional, but superstars are delusional, right? I mean, they think they can do anything. A lot of them do. And a lot of them end up doing it. So he shouldn't. Look, we all know it was unbelievably, not just because I lost a bet. It was literally psychotically crazy that he won the Masters a few years ago. I mean, let's just face facts. But he did. So now I believe he's telling, I think he, if his girlfriend says to him, Tiger, do you really think you should play? And I think he would, my guess is he turns around to her and goes, you know what? A lot of people didn't think I should play the Masters a few years ago. Probably thought I was done, and I won. Right? That's probably his attitude, which is the kind of attitude you want for a young player, you know, who's coming up and is a star, and that's what he is. But he's not young anymore. And he's got a horrible injury. It's kind of sad.
What'd you think about Justin Thomas's comeback win? And anyone else stand out to you? I think locally, Abraham Answer shined for me personally because I kind of liked him early. But what'd you think of the playoff holes yesterday?
Well, I thought it was an amazing ending. I really did. I feel sorry for the kid, the Texas Tech kid. I got to tell you something, fellas. I don't ever remember hearing this dude's name. I'm sorry. And I follow sports really, really closely. I mean, I don't follow Big 12 golf, you know, and all that team, but I don't ever remember hearing this dude's name. I mean, I had to look it all up when he was finally up there. I had to, you know, sitting there like Googling him to find out about more about the guy. But he was an amazing story until he did one of the stupidest things. You know what's amazing about golf, and you know that both you guys know this. What's amazing about golf is that when there's pressure on you, not only is it harder physically, it's harder mentally. And I don't know what in the world he and his caddy were doing, but his caddy should have taken his driver away from him and just said, no, you're not hitting this. You can fire me after this round, but you're not going to hit this driver. I'm serious. That's what his caddy should have done. But he hits the driver on 18, and the rest is history. And then he doubles. All he has to do is bogey. I mean, everybody knows that. The worst is bogey, and he gets into a playoff. So that was amazing. As far as Justin Thomas is concerned, I don't ever, ever want to hear any of these crybaby golfers talk about, well, I got the wrong end of the deal. You know, I got morning on this day and afternoon on this day, and it was the worst part. Justin Thomas got the worst part of it. He was one of the only ones on the top of the leaderboard that did, and he didn't care. He fought through it, adversity. He made shots that he had to, and then he won the daggone thing. And I'll tell you, Zalatoris is going to be, gosh, I don't know how many majors the guy's going to win. We always talk about these young guys, and they don't ever end up doing it. But I'll tell you, he's a tremendous golfer. But Justin Thomas, that was a great, great win for him. It really was. It was really impressive. And, you know, with all the lack of birdies out there, for him to go 2-under on those three holes was amazing. You know, and that's when you step up and do the right things. And that's what he did. You know, it's exactly what he did, and it was impressive. But, you know, it was good golf. And Skinny, you I know you got to go and walk up and down it, so that had to be cool.
Yeah, it was cool. The one guy, I mean, it was Thomas was great. And, you know, you're right. We just talked about it earlier. Can he be the one of these guys that goes on a little run? The one that's just perplexing to me, and now he finds ways to lose these things so often, is Rory. I mean, after Thursday, it looked like he was just like a robot that was unbeatable. But you knew at some point maybe some of those demons start creeping back in his mind. It's just, if you would have told me after Valhalla in 2014 that he was not going to win a major for another 8 years, I would have had you put in the psych ward. What in the way? It's amazing to watch that guy. It's like when there's not any pressure, Sunday at Augusta, 64. Even yesterday for a lot of the time as he got back into position. But then once he got there, then you could see it kind of weigh in on him again, and he could not get over the hump to get to 5 or 6 yeah. under like he knew he had. Is Rory just kind of a guide now instead of what we all thought he could have been?
He rips off those 4 birdies in a row, and then he looks up and goes, "Wow, I've got a chance." And then he puts his hands around his throat. You know, if this guy would just figure out a way to not give up a couple of strokes every round, you know, that's what he does. He loses concentration. I mean, that Thursday round, brother, was unbelievable. Those drives that he was hitting, I mean, it was, you know, 340, 330, right down the middle. I mean, he's amazing. But he always figures out ways to give it up. He just does. And all these young golfers, they come along, speed, him, and remember Jason Day? We thought Jason Day was going to be the most unbelievable thing ever. Koepka, maybe Rahm is in, Dustin Johnson. I mean, these dudes don't even make cuts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, they make cuts even on a bad weekend. But these guys, they'll go out and drop. Look at number one in the world, Scheffler.
Yeah.
His favorite course, he's on fire. He doesn't even make the cut. So I think a lot of these guys, man, if they're ever going to be put in that category, they got to get more consistent. Rory's done with that category. You can forget that. I mean, you can't go 8 years without winning a major and be considered one of the best players. I'm talking about of all time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Rory is it'd be hard to cheer for him. You know, if you were a big Rory fan, that'd be hard to cheer for him. Really would.
Yeah, and he was the guy, it felt like to me, being there. He was the guy that when they all teed off that most people were kind of in his camp. And then by the time he went through number 7, it was just kind of, okay, well, Rory did it again. Maybe tomorrow he can do something fun when he's out of it.
Yeah,
but it's baffling the way that he's fallen down, because when he ripped off the British and the PGA back in 2014 to get 4 in his first few years on tour – I mean, it felt like 10 was a guarantee for that guy. And then could he actually threaten Tiger and Jack? And now here we are 8 years later, and he's still stuck at the same spot. It doesn't make any sense with the talent that he has.
Well, it really shows how hard it is to win majors. I mean, Justin Thomas is a great player. That was his second major. Second. Yeah. You know how hard it is to win a major. I mean, we watch Tiger win all those majors, and then we think, oh, yeah, well, someone's going to come along. Well, maybe not. I mean, I know a lot of people thought no one would approach Jack, and Tiger did. And maybe someone will approach Tiger. But one after another, when we think, oh, here he is, nope, never happened. Just doesn't happen.
How much, if you had to put kind of percentages on it, for reasons why, how much would you put the fact that there's just more dudes that are good? And also that versus they also make so much money. And so are they out there working as hard as maybe those guys did that came before them?
I don't think there's any doubt that both of those are a factor. I think there's so many good golfers. I mean, back when Jack Nicklaus was playing, you might have had 20, 25 dudes that could win a tournament. Now you got 60, 70, 80 guys that can win a tournament. You never know. You know, you never know who's going to be up there at the end. Leave the Pereira guy, right? I mean, that's crazy. And then the money. If you're just like Charles Howell III, okay? Charles Howell III is the most unbelievable example of what we're talking about. So much money. I can't remember how much it is. If you, maybe you got a computer.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
It's something like 17 million or 20 million or 20. I mean, it's an absurd amount of money. And no one ever talks about Charles Howell III because he never won anything big. But all you got to do, go out there, is like finish fifth, finish third, finish 10th, finish 20th, finish fifth. And you'll make so much money, it's crazy. Charles Howell III, you ever seen him in a commercial? I've never seen him in a commercial. I'm like, you got a number? What is it?
$41 million.
$41 million.
That was as of February 2022. So he still had three more months to rack up a couple more million.
Yeah.
He's won three times. He's played 600 tour events, and he's won $41 million.
No majors at all.
Uh-uh.
No commercials, right? We don't see anything. I mean, I'm sure he gets paid by whatever he uses, you know, Titleist and those guys. They always pay all those guys, but he's won $41 million. You think he cares if he wins? I'm sure he'd like to win a major. He's old now, but my gosh, man. I mean, I guess after he made $20 million or $25 million, maybe he was in it like, you know, I got enough money now. Now I'd like to win a major. And it didn't happen. But I got to tell you, fellas, if my consolation prize was $41 million, I think I'd be okay. So what you said is right about both of those things. Yeah, a lot of money, maybe don't care much. And I'll tell you, none of these dudes are dedicated to the game like Tiger was. You know, they get married, they have kids. What did Tiger do? Tiger got married, had kids, and he didn't even think that he was out there cheating and playing golf. That's what he was. So he, all these guys, they're not as psychotic about being the best like Tiger was.
Hey, real quick, what did you think about OSU? They bounced back, got that series win over Baylor after losing, what, five in a row. Are they okay? I was a little worried about them going into the postseason now.
What was it, by the way, what do you see a ranking? Did your rankings come out today? Where are they ranked?
I haven't seen one yet. Yeah, I was looking for that earlier.
Look, here's the deal. That game on Thursday night was just a horrific loss. That had to crush that team. And I bet you any amount of money, knowing Josh Holliday, he probably said to them, you're about as low as you can be now after this loss. You're either going to fall apart and this season is going to be done, or we're going to turn this thing around. And they did. Not that Baylor's anything special, but they scored a bunch of runs. What, they scored 38 runs in three games or something? And that should be enough to sweep, but they didn't. But they win those two games, and now they got to start playing. They got to do well in the Big 12 tournament.
It's going to be a shame if they're not a national seed.
I think they're one of the best eight teams in the country, but you got to prove it. And they needed to sweep Baylor, but two out of three is good on the road. So, you know, if they're not a national seed, they're going to end up being like 9, 10, 11, which means at least if they can get to the regional, super regional, they're not going to play the best teams in the country, right? They're going to play the teams that are very similar to them. So I think that they got their confidence back.
But, yeah, dude.
Losing five in a row, getting swept at home by Tech, that was bad.
And then losing that
first game like they did.
Meanwhile, OU has played
a lot better lately.
And they go and take two out of
three from Tech. And now what, is it a three-way tie for second? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think who was two? TCU was two, OU was three, and OSU was four, at least in the Big 12 tournament for the seedings, the way those tiebreakers worked.
So is Tech – I thought TCU was one.
Tech two, OU three, and OSU four. Yeah, TCU is one.
That's okay, right. OSU ended up getting the four seed. Yeah. That's the same. I mean, a week and a half ago, they were leading the league, and then they ended up being fooled. But that's really – I mean, good for OU. I think OU has solidified a position in the tournament, and it looks as if I think all four of those teams will probably get in, and then maybe Texas. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Al was screaming and yelling about Texas the other night. He's really kind of right. I mean, they've kind of fallen apart. I think they're under 500 in the league, if I'm not mistaken. They're right there at 500, right? 11 and 10 they were or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just – I mean, Oklahoma State is real. They're good, man. I hope they don't waste it because they're really good.
I think this week, for me, last thing before we let you go, this week went a long way into maybe seeing some bedlam softball at Oklahoma City, some upsets on both sides of what the bracket would be up in Oklahoma City, not necessarily for the two supers that OU and Osher are in, but around them for later on. That would be so awesome if we could see that in a three-game series. I thought Kenny Gajewski was outstanding on your show last week talking about, and I think I don't know how many OSU fans like what he has to say, but I think he's being so honest when he tells you, listen, that's a monster down there, and you got to figure out how to slay it. I think that was just a great interview with him, and obviously the things that, with the stuttering and how many people that called you and told you, you know, how much that, you know, helps them in their fight with such a thing as well.
It really is cool, man. He's an amazing dude. And I think that if an OSU fan's upset about what he said, they're idiots. Heck, your OU fans upset what he said, too, because he said that they think they're as good as them. But, look, it was good. They beat him. I mean, that's the key. You can talk about not having the pitcher and all that other stuff, but they beat him, which they've only had two losses all year long. So at least OSU has that going for them. OSU and Clemson will be an interesting match. Clemson's pretty good, but I think OSU's better. And then I think OU is just going to pummel Central Florida. I mean, how about 20-0 in the final of a regional? What do you think about that? Is that any good?
It took like an hour to play two innings or an inning and a half. It was ridiculous.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know much, but I'm going to tell you right now, if Jocelyn Alo gets a hit twice in the first inning, you're never going to beat OU.
No.
No, that's probably a pretty good way to think of it. You're right. It is. They're amazing. I don't know how they're going to get beat. If they're healthy, I just don't know how they're going to get beat. But OSU's beating them. And they're going to be the only. Texas is still alive, right?
Didn't yes.
There's the one that I didn't see, but so there's two teams alive that have beaten them, and I think OSU's got a great chance to get to the College World Series. And since they're on the other bracket, that would be incredible, man. Can you imagine bedlam for the national championship? I think we might have a chance with that in golf too.
Yep, men's golf will be right there with a chance.
Out.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, man, thanks.
With all my poker this weekend, I didn't see what happened in the women's golf.
I didn't even. That was out of my mind.
That was completely off my radar.
It started all of it. Friday, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be out there at Greyhawk, and OSU was pretty good. I didn't know. I didn't. Don't worry, but it's not that big of a deal. By the way, the podcast today is really good. People need to go listen. It's about how you need to compliment your spouses. It's a really good one. And I don't know if you guys heard the Dankers, but I'm telling you, fellas, that was one of the most powerful things you ever listened to.
Yes.
OSU did not qualify.
Oh, okay. Good.
To play today.
Also, the next 2 weeks, Memorial Day and the following Monday, we're doing Major Ed Polito and his wife.
Fantastic.
That'll be good.
Big league. Yeah, we're going to find out a little bit more about his story. A lot of people don't know his story. His story is amazing. So, yeah, the Julie and Jim Traver podcast, if y'all get a chance, tune in. You can do it to sportsanimal.com or you can do it anywhere where you get podcasts.
All right, man. Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Have a good
day. Right, we won't
be here next Monday, so you've got at least one Monday off with us.
Yeah, Memorial Day. We'll all take it off, okay?
Exactly right. All right, man. Have a great day.
Back to all the great people. See you, man. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. We've gone. This may be the latest we've gone.
Well, what are they going to do?
Probably
no one's come barreling through the door yet to turn us off, so no. I think we're okay.
Great stuff. I think, you know, we'll talk more about it, but the Tiger, it's really
it's
interesting.
Concerning. It's very concerning.
Because what he has to do to be a better golfer, he can't do right now.
Right.
Have a great Monday. Go Rain.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.